Hello, everyone. This is Father Kevin Mullen, the president of Siena College, and I'm very pleased to welcome you today to listen to a special broadcast where we have the opportunity to reflect upon Catholic education. Somewhat unusual for us at Siena that we deal regularly with higher education, we have the opportunity today to reflect upon the whole mission of education within the Catholic Diocese of Albany. And I have a very special guest. I have Sister Jane Herb, the Superintendent of Education for the Diocese of Albany, who will help in this dialogue today to share some ideas about the future, the present, and the future of Catholic education in the Diocese of Albany, and especially to look at a new initiative that has begun in the last 3 years in the diocese. So first, let me welcome Sister Jane Herb to this program today.
Thank you, Father Kevin. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you, and you've really been at the spearhead of a very exciting move here in the diocese. But before we get that, Jane, you've had a long experience with Catholic education. Could you just introduce where we are with Catholic education at this time and maybe just a short history of where we've come from?
Sure. I've been a lifer in Catholic education. I taught high school math, was principal of school before getting my doctorate, and really came here to the diocese about 14 years ago. I have the opportunity to serve on some national committees, and so I kind of have a little bit of a perspective on the national scene as well. But we've been facing some challenges in the Northeast, particularly with declining enrollment, but also some opportunities as we look forward to the 21st century and what Catholic schools can offer that the public schools can't offer. So we look at this as an exciting yet very challenging time.
I'm delighted to hear you speak to opportunities, because I think sometimes, unfortunately, folks get the impression that when it comes to Catholic education on the primary or secondary level, or even in higher education, that we're really suffering and all we deal with are problems. And you speak very optimistically of opportunities. What are some of the opportunities you see?
Absolutely. You know, I'm the half glass is half full type person. But
sure.
I think as we look to the future, public education, charter schools are taking some lessons from us in character development and so on. But that's been part of our history for over 200 years, where we've had the opportunity to integrate faith and values into our curriculum. And we have some extremely dedicated teachers and staff. Many of our teachers have also been lifers, spent their entire life in Catholic education. And yet we want to be on the cutting edge. So we want to look at what's next in terms of technology, but also in being true to our foundations of Catholic identity woven throughout everything that we do.
That's great. And I know under the leadership of the bishop and your leadership, several years back, you formed a task force to begin to look at a kind of a universal package of Catholic education here in the diocese and to begin to bring together some folks to help advise and study this issue. Could you share with us some of the direction that task force went?
Sure. Actually, our diocesan school board had a retreat opportunity one winter and met with the bishop and really began to look at, we're tired of managing decline. That's what we said. We're tired of looking at the challenges that we're facing. We want to look at the opportunities. So the board came together and said, let's pull together some of the folks in the community that we have connections with, business leaders, college leaders, and grateful that Father Kevin, you yourself were on the task force. We had some principals, some board members, and so on. And basically the task force came together, met for about a 5 or 6 month period, and was really charged with reimagining Catholic education. So it, in a sense, we started with a blank slate. We educated folks and focused on different areas and really asked the task force to help us dream, help us look at other opportunities. And in my individual meetings with the task force members, I began to see connections, and that eventually came to the table, and that was the work of the task force, which eventually produced the Covenant to Educate.
Yeah, I'll tell you, as a participant, it was really an exciting period of time. And one of the things I appreciated was that we were provided, that task force, with a national perspective. And we were able to look at some of the best practices being done around the nation, apply them to our own situation here in the greater capital region, and to evaluate them and to have very lively discussions. And I think it is important to underline, you gave us that permission, if you will, to dream and to say, what might it be like? And folks should look sometime at the makeup of that task force, that there were people from all sectors of education, higher education, both Catholic educators, but also folks that are involved in public institutions of higher education, right through teachers. There was a whole cross-section, folks in business, and it was just a very exciting perspective to hear. And I think we walked away, as I did at least as a member, filled with that optimism once again that there was something to capture here. Could you speak to I know these aren't in order in any way, but some of the priorities that the task force eventually helped and produced this covenant to educate. What were some of the priorities that emerged?
You know, we went through several iterations of this. We developed strategies for the future and so on. But there were six. There are six key areas that were actually in the implementation stage right now. And let me just tick those off, give you a little bit of information about each one of them. First of all is Catholic identity. It's core to who we are. Sometimes we take it for granted, but what we're really looking at, what does Catholic identity mean in the 21st century? So we really want to look at not giving up our heritage and our roots, but looking at how do we integrate this faith and values into everything that we do in this 21st century. Another initiative is the Church School Alliance. The Church School Alliance is really working to develop partnership with the parishes. When we look at how we're going to develop church for the future, we're talking about parish support, school support, and how do we come together on that. So it's promoting Catholic schools, but it's also being supportive of parish programs, which are so important also. The teaching and learning environment, well, that's who we are. That's part and parcel of what we do in education. So the teaching and learning is a third core area. And right now we're involved in a curriculum mapping project. We've hired a national consultant, and we're really looking at pre-K to 12 curriculum and how is all that integrated. Sure, we follow the state standards, but we want to really develop that connection between what's done in kindergarten and what's done in 11th grade. So that's really key. And out of that committee is also going to come the Educator Compact. What does it really mean to teach in a Catholic school? Another area is governance. Interestingly enough, what came out of the task force is a franchise model. And, you know, when you think of franchise, when I think of franchise, sometimes I want to step back from that. But basically what we want to do is to look at, we're really together in this mission of Catholic education, so that when you go from one Catholic school to another, what are some standards of excellence, which the governance committee is doing? We also have a branding initiative, which is kind of exciting. We're working with an outside company that's going to help us look at what's our brand. So when you see this logo or this slogan or whatever it is, that's going to mean Catholic education. And we're in the process, the company's in the process of doing research, and they're talking to folks. And in fact, we just had a meeting the other day, and it's amazing what they're coming up with about what are people saying about Catholic schools and how can we capture that. So again, when you're under that brand or that umbrella, that's going to be important. And the last area, which is equally important to everything, is that of partnerships. And really, how do we partner with the business community, the college community? Because what we realized when we pulled together these people for the task force is people want to be involved. And, you know, a good education today, a good faith-based education today will prepare people for the future.
Yeah, I think, you know, that was one of the things that struck me in the task force was the willingness of folks in the community to be involved and to hear the passion with which many of them spoke about their own background, very much recognizing times have changed since many of us were children and were educated. But at the same time, there's some of those features. One of them being that you mentioned of Catholic identity being passed on in this educational process, that was something that all of us could relate to. And I think many of us said that helped to shape and form our lives. I also brought a bit of a personal connection to it, recognizing in my recent past, before I came to Siena, I was a pastor in another diocese, but was involved in the governance of a rather large primary school. And knew the challenges of that firsthand in terms of trying to meet payrolls and keep things affordable. But also one of the features you stressed of an academic excellence, of trying to say it's not just enough to open your door and it's not just enough to say come. You have to have a real quality product. And I think, again, in the task force, I heard that over and over again, that stress on the teaching and learning environment and striving for nothing less than excellence. Do you see that continuing in all of our schools?
Absolutely. You know, you refer to the task force. It was interesting because we work with outside consultant to bring together names, and I had no idea. It was kind of like, guess who's coming to dinner? Who's going to be around that table for the first task force meeting? And we just went around and had folks introduce themselves, and it was amazing the connections to Catholic schools that I didn't realize. I mean, they weren't asked because of their connection to Catholic schools. They were asked for their connection to the community. So first of all, we started with this background of Catholic education. So everybody had some touch point for Catholic education. But the other thing, and again, I think it's important to keep in mind that we have business people around it because they're focused on the product, you know, and if we can't have a good product, then really why are we in business? So that we were challenged, we meaning the Catholic schools were challenged by members of the task force to say, how do you measure your excellence? How can you say that you're excellent, which gets to the whole quality of the franchise idea, but how do we raise those standards of excellence so that when you go from one Catholic school to another, people can expect that quality program that is so important to the business leaders and to us. Certainly Catholic identity, but if we don't have that quality program, people aren't going to look at us and they're not going to write their check for that extra tuition after already paying high property taxes. So, you know, we've been focused on the quality. The curriculum mapping is helping us do that. Accountability would be another factor that we're going to bring in to make sure that our schools are living up to the name.
That's great. And another aspect of this, I think, was that I don't want to get lost here at all, was the recognition by the diocese and by the task force of needing to be accessible to the community, to make Catholic schools accessible so that children all over had the opportunity in all the different regions to be part of Catholic education. And that's an ongoing challenge, I think, for yourself to do that.
Absolutely. And we find some, you know, challenges that folks in the city of Albany have more choices for their education. So Catholic education is, you know, one of many choices. And we want, you know, the busing, the cities provide us with busing up to 15 miles. But what are those about those people in the rural areas? How do we get them in? And, you know, we have a situation now where folks in Catskill area, we've chartered buses. They're coming up both sides of the Hudson so that those families can have Catholic education. The accessibility is hard. It's challenging both in terms of location, also in terms of affordability. You know, we don't want to abandon our mission to the poor and to those that might not have the means. So we have initiatives such as the Beacon of Hope to raise money so that families can have the opportunity of a Catholic education. And the other area of accessibility that we have to look at, but it's even more challenging, are special needs students. I mean, right now we do accept some students that have IEPs, individual education programs. We can't accept everybody. And so that continues to be on our radar. We can't do much about it right now, but that's an accessibility issue that I think we want to take a look at, you know, probably a little bit later, but it's also an area of accessibility.
Yeah, it's great to hear that, you know, and I know that it was there, and I think people understand everything can't be done at once, but it strikes me that this is a good strategic plan to point in, and we clearly know where we're going, and as you say, there are standards to measure against this and to begin to evaluate ourselves. Let's say that some of this has begun now and that, you know, we're in this now for at least a year and a half. How's it going? How's the implementation of what?
You know, that's one of the things I hear most often when I ask principals about the Covenant to Educate, and they're going to say, when are we going to see something? When, you know, it's like sure. People expect instant success or instant results. So, but we're working at that. As I mentioned, the curriculum mapping is going on as we speak. We're about to roll out the governance plan, which is really partnering with the parishes. We don't want the parish schools to give up their parish identity. You know, we don't want everything to be a centralized system in terms of everything operating from our office. But more partnership with the pastors about how can we support the school. So there's going to be an accountability factor in there. We're re-looking at a principal evaluation process to build in some of those accountability things. We're piloting the principal evaluation process, you know, as we speak, you know, in three schools. As I mentioned, the branding initiative is going on. So we have little things that we're doing. We're planning regional meetings probably in the spring this year to be able to say to pastors, principals, school board members, teachers, this is where we are. Help us give some feedback. The educator compact that I talked about, when teachers sign their contract in the spring to come back next year to teach in a Catholic school, we're going to have an educator compact, and that's going to go through some vetting with the faculty members now. But what does it mean to teach in a Catholic school? It's more than the legal document that says you're going to teach this long and get paid this much. But what's your commitment to the faith and a role model for that? So we hope teachers are going to be able to look at that and say, okay, I'm going to sign this because we're a community in doing this. So lots of things going on, a lot behind the scenes, but more will become evident as the months go on.
Yeah, I think as with any plan that is kind of got a universal nature, you don't always see the beginning parts of it, and you have to wait a bit. And I think this is worth waiting to see the result, because I think we're really on the right direction. One of the challenging things you mentioned is a shared governance model. I mean, we're going the complexity of this from, I think, some institutions that had school boards, others didn't, others where it wasn't clear who was in charge, others where there was one person definitely in charge and the relationship with the diocese and things. So that shared governance model is something that excited me, and I think that's one of the assurances of quality, that when you have that, and as you said, if people move from an area to another area within the diocese, they won't experience great changes in terms of how the schools are dealt with, and they know what to expect. And I think that's important in terms of the folks we deal with today, that they want to partner with us too. They're the parents, and they want the best for their children. They want to know what that best is, mm-hmm. and to be able to have a voice in it. So why don't we take a break for a few moments, and we will be coming back to this conversation on the Covenant to Educate with Sister Jane Herb. This is Father Kevin Mullen, the president of Siena College, and you're listening to us on 88.3 The Saint, WVCR.